Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time, and we're coming to you live from the Noble Gold Studios. And you heard me say it, I took my order of silver, and I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the bank is down to less than 3% of the original value of the dollar. They can't keep reinflating this. So we're going to talk to you about precious metals, what's going on in the economy with our guest Colin Plume. Oh my goodness, folks, I'll tell you. If you've got anything to protect, you need to diversify into precious metals, and you need to do it soon because I don't know how much time we have left. Colin, I don't mean to sound panicked, but I'm nervous.
Well, that's why we're talking. You gotta talk through things, right? I mean, that's how the world works. You gotta feel like you gotta get it out. We gotta talk about what's happening. It's a very interesting few months. Powell, what's he gonna do? Soft landing, all these, amazing things that they're just gonna save us, right? Isn't that what the Fed's gonna, they're gonna wipe away the $35 trillion in debt, and they're gonna balance the budget. And they're gonna lower inflation's
Well, I
low.
do have something to say. They will eventually do that as a precursor to bringing in CBDC, and all of the elite are going gold, silver, and crypto. I mean, this is a fact.
It's
So they're kind of telling you the truth. They're just not telling you what life's going to be like when we get there.
about yeah. No, alternative investments. It's fascinating to me because I just every day people come up to me and they like I you know people that like my son, all my kids went back to school today, and people that would never talk to me are coming up to me and saying, I see what you're doing. I'm interested. I want to talk to you. I mean, financial advisors. Stock guys. I met with a stock guy. He wanted to meet with me. Usually they're trying to get me to meet with them. I said, I don't meet with stock guys. I want to meet with you. I want to talk about what you do. Okay, what do you want? And I thought a sales pitch was coming. They're trying to lure me in. No, he's got money. He's got money. He wants to get out of the markets. He's worried. He doesn't know anything about it. He wants physical. Because I said to him, why don't you just buy an ETF? Why don't you just buy mining stocks? No, I see what's happening there. I don't want to do it. And he said, I want to diversify. I have money in the stock market.
Yeah.
I want to diversify. And so it's really become more mainstream, Dave, than I ever thought. I always thought, at the beginning, I remember people saying, like, you're one of those tinfoil hat guys, right? I used to get that a lot. And now it's like, the hat looks good now. They people want to wear this hat, and so it's it I do think we're in a precarious situation with rates, because if you look at what happens when, even though people are like the rates are coming down or be good, but typically they're not great for the economy right away. Typically, dropping rates leads, there's a lot of recessions that have come out of a high raise in rates and then a quick pullback. So, and there's no guarantee either way, but there have been a lot of recessions that have come after a lowering of rates from a massive increase. And also, don't take my word for it, but I mean, when rates drop, gold does very well. You can look at all
Yes.
the numbers.
Yeah.
You can look at 2009, the most recent indicator. Gold went up end of 2008 to 2011. Gold was up more than 20% per year. Silver also went on a meteoric run. So that was, because people forget, they just think like we had low rates forever, but we didn't. They actually raised rates after the financial collapse. They raised them up like we in a similar way. Rates got into the mid fives, high fives. And then they pulled them back, and when they pulled them back, that's when gold and silver, like a slingshot, that's when gold and silver.
Along those lines, Colin, I got a question for you. One of the things that I'm hearing with economists, people that don't really have a dog in the fight like we do, but they are saying that gold and silver have been artificially repressed by banking interests, but they're losing the grip on it, and gold and silver are going to explode in value. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I mean, I think when people are looking at, you know, when you look at central banks this year, they've bought like 460 tons of gold this year already. You know, so when people are like, oh, the price of gold, it seems high. But if it's so high, why are central banks buying? Why are they buying so much of it? They're buying it because they're getting away from the dollar. You know, the dollar, you know, in reserve of central banks was in 2022 or 2002 was 72% of central banks. Now it's less than 58%. So it's like they have all this fiat money, and what are they doing? They're buying physical assets. They're locking into something physical, and they're putting it in reserve. And then you know, central banks borrow against their gold, or they do trades against their gold. But it's an asset that stands the test of time, and it's important for them to have this asset, especially right now, because they don't feel comfortable with bonds. They don't know if we're going to get repaid. So I think also, you know, lowering rates is very timely for the government because we borrow so much money too that they want to get rates down because we're borrowing against ourselves, right? So that's a big part of you know, what's happening here. But I think that the traditional portfolio, the 60-40 stock to bond ratio, has performed horribly this year, relative to other things. And so, and then the 4% that, you know, that 4% retirement rule, when you have a bad year, like a massive, you know, pullback in a lot of portfolios that you've had over the last 2 to 3 years, you know, that 4% retirement rule doesn't really work. It only works if you're hitting, you know, 7 and 10% returns. And those are true returns. You know, people don't realize that when they say you have to make 7 to 10%, that has to be after fees. And a lot of people are paying 1 to 3% in fees in a lot of the mutual funds and a lot of the 401ks and a lot of the things. So to hit 7 to 10%, you really, you know, if you want to hit 10%, you probably have to hit 12 or 13% in those portfolios. And most people are not hitting those types of returns.
No, those days are gone, at least for the time being. I totally agree with you. Are you finding that the elderly, because of problems with Social Security and threats to Social Security, are they fleeing the banks and looking for more solvency to protect themselves from declining Social Security payments?
Yeah, I mean, I found it, you know, this is sort of an unpopular comment about Social Security, but I saw an interview with Peter Thiel, and he was saying that, you know, Social Security, the problem is it should be a needs-based system, right? And it's unpopular because you and I and everyone pays in, but he made an interesting statement that if they made it needs-based, it would be in a such better position because it was really be more, it would be more of like a social welfare program, and really it probably is, right? It's not a pension. They set it up to be a pension, but it's not. It doesn't really work effectively as a pension because it's not enough. It doesn't really cover enough. Whereas like a pension system would have covered more of your and kept up with inflation. So he made an argument that it should be needs based. And I never thought about that, but I think it's, you know, it would be something to make it interesting. So people that really don't need it, like the wealthy, they don't get it. And it's really just, and it's a ramp based on who kind of needs it. And if you look at the numbers that way, it probably would survive. But the way it is right now, where everybody gets it, and everyone's living 10 or 15 or 20 years much longer than when they created this. I mean, when they created Social Security in the late 40s, 50s, you know, people were living in their mid 60s to high, you know, 60s. Now we're living, you know, high 70s, you know, early 80s. I mean, people are living to 100 and something. So it really just doesn't have enough. It's not able to really keep up with not only the cost of living, but just how long people are living. I think it's scary for anyone that's like late 40s, 50s to think like maybe it's not going to be around.
It's not going to be.
And for sure they're going to push the age. It's not going to be the same age today. It'll probably be by the time if you're, 50, you're probably going to wait till 70 or older to get access to that money because they just won't have enough. I mean, if you pull up your statement right now, I'm 47. I think it says funding for me is at like, I don't know, 40% or some number. Last time I checked, 40% of what it would need to actually fund when I'm, 66 or 67. So yeah, I mean, a lot of things have to happen for it to actually fund. And I wanted to look at it because my father told me that when he used to look at it in his 50s, it would say it was like 60 or 70% funded. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, people can go in there, you go to a Social Security website and see how funded it is relative to where you're going to be, closer to retirement. But it is, it's such a small amount. You really have to have other things to protect yourself. And as we come up to the end of the year, our team at Noble is so unique in that we people have required mandatory distributions in their IRAs. So people call us and we help them sell their gold and silver. And some of them take the gold and silver because they want to have the asset, which you can do in your IRA, or some of them go back into cash. And it feels, great as a business owner to, for so many of the people that have bought gold from us, that they're doing well, that the profit is there, that they're selling their assets at a higher price than what they bought it from, and they're going to use that money to a little bit each year to pay off a bill here or a car there. This is really the strategy that I've tried to employ my whole career, which is like being diversified and having taking little pieces here to cover everything that you need. But yeah, I think people are nervous about what could happen. And then I saw this picture of Kamala Harris, her tax plan, her potential tax plan that she wants to implement. And it's quite scary. Like it's a bait and switch, in my opinion, to tell people that you're going to tax unearned investments.
Yeah.
That's
Can
not.
we explain that just for a second? Okay, like if I buy a home for 200,000 and it's now worth 900,000, I own, according to her tax plan, 25% of that increased value before I can sell it.
Right. And I think they've tried to go even farther and tax. I mean, they've tried to tax people in the stock market just based on their gains without liquidating. And that's problematic for me because first of all, you want to create a system that allows people to continue to invest and keep their money in investments. And when you just tell them that all of a sudden, after they've been doing it the same way for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, that they're going to come in and tax you on unearned, like you haven't taken it, you haven't taken a profit, that they're trying to take tax on profit you haven't even
Yeah.
taken. That's a bait and switch in my
Listen, I
opinion.
don't benefit. The value of my house, I'm just doing the math here in my head, has gone up about $700,000 in 20 years. Okay? I don't benefit from that. I'm penalized because now I'm paying higher property taxes. It's not a benefit to me. It's a handicap.
Yeah.
To me, people don't even know what's coming. I'm so glad you brought that up. And I got to tell you, it's what's driving me out of the economy. And
Yeah.
this is why I go gold, silver. We're gonna actually go further and go palladium, platinum now. I got to diversify because right now the value of the dollar is less than 3 cents on the dollar of what it was in 1913 when the Federal Reserve was created. They can't keep reinflating this bubble through inflation because a million times zero is zero. And I know you exactly what I'm talking about. And eventually they're not going to be able to reinflate it. And so when they say they're going to get rid of inflation, and they're correct, they're going to wipe out all the debt and bring in centralized digital currency with social credit. But the elite are positioning themselves to be gold, silver, and crypto. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah. And I was just going to add on the potential, the Harris tax proposals, the other, because I took a picture of it. Corporate tax rate is 21%.
Yep.
She wants to go to 28%.
Gosh.
Capital gains tax is 20%. She wants to go to 44.6%.
That's robbery.
Unrealized gains tax, zero. And she wants to go to 25%.
Well, that's a gift in a way, because Janet Yellen, when she was talking to the Senate, wanted 45% on unrealized gains. So, but
Isn't that going to hurt a few investors? People are going to want to keep their money here in
Colin,
the US. I mean,
I don't care if you're a Democrat. If you're making money, she's the last person you want in office.
it's quite scary to the these proposals. Like, nobody's thinking through how these things are going to affect, we want to encourage businesses and business owners and encouraging growth. We've seen so many large corporations move to different states, to move out of the US. These kind of proposals will put people out. They will not want to open large corporations here in the US with these kind of, these people are just going to start, the Japanese swing trade, that happened a few weeks ago. People were like, well, why does what happened to the Japanese market? Why did it have a massive pullback of our market? Because people don't realize that 5 to 10% of that Japanese market was corporations here in the US that were buying those cheap bonds, right? I mean, that's, they don't realize that we were taking advantage of that. That was propping them up. That was help, because corporations were like, wow, we can get basically 0% money over there and then buy goods here. Well, we need to do that because they've raised rates here. And so there was so much money wrapped up, and they're still trying to unwind that trade. And there's going to be more repercussions in our stock market. But a lot of what the profits we saw here were based on them borrowing at those cheap rates and then using that money. And so, there's places all over the world that are creating opportunistic ways for business owners to move. I mean, there's all, the digital nomad movement was based on, Estonia telling people, hey, come here, you don't have to pay tax. Well, you can sell your products anywhere in the world, just come here and we'll encourage you, because they know deep down they're going to make money by people living there. They make money by people, they understand the bigger picture that you want people to be in your country. And so you have these people that have made tremendous wealth all over the world, and they're moving into these places that have these more favorable taxes. I mean, these kind of measures, this unrealized gain tax idea, I mean, people should really look this up and try to, the ripple effect of what could happen if some of these measures are passed. I mean, the stock market alone, I mean, the amount of people that would see that bill getting passed and then just start immediately selling and getting out, they would just immediately try to go to other places. Let's pull my money out into another place. Or they're going to borrow against their stocks to zero, right? They'll just borrow and borrow and then just say, whatever happens, but I don't care. I'm going to get my money out of this country. I'll never pay that unrealized. There's these loopholes that people will enact, but
No,
the
that's
big
right.
picture, it all comes down to, like what you were saying about your house. Like, it's yeah, you get a house, you want a place to live, you do it, to hopefully just be comfortable later in life. But the idea that now, after all these years that you've done the hard work and you've made the additional payments, that they're going to come ahead and tax you again. These are not fundamental to a strong economy,
But
right?
that's not what they are. I mean, let me ask you this question. Another policy of Harris are wage and price controls, which Nixon tried and they were devastating.
Yeah.
What will be the effect on, say, the price of gold and silver if she actually gets elected, takes office, and initiates wage and price controls?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think, how can you control the price of a limited supply asset like this? I don't know how. I mean, listen, we tried to do it in this country when we got off the gold standard initially in, 1933,
Yeah.
and they created that whole situation where they told everyone to turn in their gold for $22, and then basically the next year they repriced it at $32 or $33. So I wonder if they'll try to do something similar to that. But I do think people today are much more savvy. They have much more information, and they have a bigger ability to move and go anywhere, you know, in the world. People are not, they're not stuck anywhere like they used to be. And, you know, so many people work remotely now that I think it's going to be difficult for them to do that, because people are understanding that, you know, if you can't like survive in the country you are, and it's not working for you, then you move to different places that are more appealing tax wise or more appealing cost of living wise. You know, I think I had a very good friend who went to China recently and was blown away by the high quality of food. And I mean, this is China, the high quality of food, fruit, vegetables. I mean, she was buying like big cantaloupes for a dollar. And she was like, how can this country with, you know, I don't know how many billion of people they have, you know, a billion five, or how many people live in China, and they can feed all these. She was like, all these people are eating so well, great food. And, you know, in these little markets, and, you know, you come to the US and, you know, you go to McDonald's and it's $17, you know, it's $18 for, you know, food that'll put you into the grave. So it's just, people are, they're getting smarter, they're getting wiser, they're realizing that, you know, and that fast food situation is really based on the fact that we've put a situation where we have to increase the wages so much, that they can't sustain. So they have to charge $17 for a Big Mac meal, right?
Yeah. You know, I'm going to get honest confession here. I'm certainly not a wealthy corporation. We've done okay, but I'll be honest with you. I'm not saying we're going to move, but I'm telling you it's in my head to look at alternatives. I'm looking at Costa Rica. I'm looking at Belize on the Outer Islands. I'm looking at Uruguay. That's up and coming. A lot of that depends on how some of these elections go, because I don't want to go from the frying pan into the fire. But I'm actually looking. And I can do the same thing there and love my country, but say I'm not going to be part of the abuse. You know, the problem, though, is if you leave the United States, I found this out, you lose your Social Security.
You have to keep a U.S. address.
Yeah, everything that you've paid in, and then you really have to renounce your citizenship if you're going to make the move, because otherwise they'll double tax you and extradite you if you don't pay them.
Right. There is a double taxation. Yeah, you don't – people think like Dubai, for instance, they think if you move to Dubai that you don't – but you still pay. You still pay a U.S. tax if you're a citizen. I was just recently in Costa Rica. It's a beautiful country, very affordable. Everyone's very happy. They make a fraction of what we make, but they can afford food. They can get, you know, healthcare. And a lot of people are moving there.
Free healthcare.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they don't have illegal aliens they have to pay for. And I'm not besmirching an individual, but we shouldn't be paying for foreigners illegally coming into our country, because this is killing our healthcare. And, you know, that's why Medicare Part B is going to go through the roof in 2 years.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's you know, the cost of the day-to-day things that we've taken for granted that are should be affordable have become very unaffordable. And that's, you know, something that we have to be very, very cautious of as we, you know, our generation gets older and we have more people we're taking care of. It gets much more difficult here. And so I ultimately what it comes down to is, you know, where is the money? Where is the wealth? How do you, what's the best way to protect yourself and your family from these massive increases? And, you know, a lot of people are going to do what you're talking about. They're going to sell their home in the US and they're going to move to these other countries. But ultimately they still are going to have a way to keep up and make returns. And so globally, you know, gold has always just been that global currency that is accepted anywhere in the world, that is universally understood, people get it. There's no debt behind it. You know, it's a simple thing, and I talk about it a lot, but The idea of you owning an asset that doesn't have any debt behind it, because even when you own your home, you still own property
Yeah,
tax.
you never own it.
You
You
never
never own it. You're right.
own it. Yeah, exactly. Whereas gold, when you really look at the numbers, and a lot of people now are getting wise to it. But I was talking to a person about like having, $100,000 in an IRA that's in mutual funds, and you compare it to gold, and it's, you're paying that 1 to 3% a year in those mutual funds, so that's $1 to $3,000 on 100,000. Whereas with us in the IRA, you pay a flat rate regardless of how much gold and silver you have, and it could go up. Your 100,000 could go to 200 or 400 or 500,000 or 1 million. You're paying 275 per year, which includes all the storage, all the maintenance. It's segregated
That's not,
storage.
Colin, that's
It's
nothing.
yeah, it's a
To
real,
me,
real.
you're talking to me, that's nothing.
Yeah.
People that have a nest egg of any degree, it could be 5,000, 50,000, 5 million, that's nothing.
Yeah,
You're telling me nothing.
it's a really small
Yeah.
amount. And so, just that maintenance, is a real idea that you have to factor into it. And I think over the last few years, as you compare all the different assets, and I believe in having different investments, because obviously, having your home, and then over time, if you sell it, move, and you have that, you go to another place, and you got that, you have the ability to do that, and it's grown over time. Those things make sense. But I think with labor costs and cost of lumber and everything, it's just really gotten more difficult to even maintain a house
Yes.
in today's day and age. It's not like how it used to be. And then you have insurance going up, homeowners insurance really dramatically going up. So it's like all these assets have really just kind of spiral, all these maintenance ideas that you need for a home have really skyrocketed, made it much more costly. And a part of it, I think, frankly, I do think there's a, and I don't want to say it's a conspiracy, but I think they've tried to make it more difficult for home ownership in this country, because you really see a lot of these big corporations, BlackRock and all these companies, they're buying so many homes, and they're competing with us. And it's really not, it's not
They're driving the price up.
driving the price up. They hold homes for a long time. They don't want people. They realized it was like, all right, apartments are one thing, we have those, but now if we can control the homeowner market, everyone just owns nothing. Like basically they're trying to make it so we own nothing.
That's what
That's
they internationally, this is what they've told us. You'll own nothing, and of course, they'll love it. We won't.
yeah.
I want you to tell the audience how smart I am. And I'm saying that kind of tongue in cheek because last week we had a payment come, actually 10 days ago, for a deal that we had closed on. And my wife and I both agreed we don't want to go into the bank with this money. Okay. The FDIC has 0.8% of the cash on hand to cover all the deposits. I don't want to go in uninsured. I'll use operating capital. So I'm sitting there and I go, okay, we're going to do Noble Gold, but are we going to do gold? Are we going to do silver? And this time we've done both, but this time we opted for silver. Do you want to talk about why maybe I made a fairly good decision there?
Yeah, I mean it's I'm gonna plug my book coming out, which is Silver is the New Oil. But I think that when people read this book, which will be ready in the next few weeks, I'm just kind of wrapping up my research. But when you look at all the different dynamics of areas that silver will affect and already affects our day-to-day living,
Yes.
and where it will continue to go, I think it is the right place. Also, and it's pretty seems like pretty much common sense, but it's something that should be stated. What other asset can you buy today that's still less than where it hit in 1983? Like it hit $50 an ounce, we're at $30 an ounce today. So there's so few assets in the, I can't even name another asset that's cheaper today than it was, almost 40 years ago. At least an asset that's in demand. I think you made a wise choice. And I'm not telling people not to buy gold, because I do buy gold, but we're definitely heavier silver to gold, personally. And we've seen a lot more of our clients just buy, the only thing with silver is you just gotta have a nice big safe. right? Both.
No, that is no kidding.
That's the only issue.
My wife loves Noble Gold, but her complaint is the volume. We're going to put everything, and we got to, you know, and we have security too. We don't keep all of it here. Just, you know,
Oh,
we're
you know,
wise
yeah. I
because.
mean, listen. One day we could do the 1,000 ounce bars, but they're a little heavy.
Oh my gosh.
I remember I had a client, older client, call me. I think I want to do the 1,000 ounce. And I said, I want to take delivery. I said, how's your back feeling? Because we're 1,000 ounce bar. You know, they're never 1,000 ounce. They're always like 50 ounces more. 50. They're and we do it based on per ounce because. When they make big bars like this, they just can't hit it on the head. So
No, you can't.
they're like 70 pounds, right? And so I was trying to talk this client through, like, you probably don't want a 1,000 ounce bar delivered to your home because
No.
you're gonna have to move that thing around. Let's stick to the 100 ounce or the kilos or something a little bit smaller. But you know, I
Colin, when it arrived on Friday, my wife said, the silver's here. Get your butt in here. You guys. Yeah. She says, I ain't picking that up.
No, it's true. It's true.
I was out of town one time and the silver came and she had to actually got a neighbor to help her.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
it
awesome.
just it's amazing. But you know, we took the silver coins because from what my research tells me, you know, when the crash is underway, you're going to be able to use silver coins in a similar way to currency.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that would be the downside of taking those large bars, right? Because you know, if you're bartering and trading, having the coins or the 1 ounce rounds, you know, it makes more sense day to day to but you don't want to go any smaller on silver, just a word to the wise, than a 1 ounce
No, I
piece
agree.
because once I've seen companies they sell 1/2 ounce or 1/4 ounce silver, and I mean, unless silver hits $1,000 an ounce, you probably want to avoid those smaller ones because the price per ounce really goes up once you get below an ounce. So just be careful. I've seen companies selling 1/4 ounce silver and it's just not a good value,
I
frankly.
understand.
Yeah, for the
I
client.
wanted to ask you another question before we close here, because some people, here's the concern they expressed to me. Dave, I've heard your Noble Gold ads and your interviews with Colin and so forth. Okay. But what if I actually need the money? And you guys will actually buy the gold back at value, won't you? And they can cash out part of it if they've got a debt they've got to pay they weren't expecting.
Yeah. So right now, a good example is, you know, we're car coming in the end of the year. So people, when you hit 70 and a half, you have to start taking some out of your IRA. It's called a required mandatory distribution. And so we help people do that. You know, it's one of the services we offer. So you call us and you'll tell us how much you need, and we can either send you the gold and silver in that amount, which is cool because that could be your distribution. So you can get it, or we can liquidate back into cash. We can do it either way. It's the only asset really in your IRA that you can take possession of. So some people that don't need the money right away will just take the asset because their thought is like, okay, I'll take the silver now at 30, pay tax at 30, and then hopefully it goes up, you know, to 70, 80, 100, and then I'll sell it later.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
but you could do it either way with us.
Well, you know, the thing about the silver that I like is with regardless of your feelings towards climate change and the technology is not going to go away.
Right.
Even if Donald Trump is elected, that movement's going to continue at the very least internationally with domestic spillover here, and silver is the darling mineral for that movement. So
Yeah. And also, I just think, like, you know, whenever oil prices go up 10 or 15 or 20%, everyone starts to go, you know, maybe I want to have one electric car, right? Because for putting around like your neighborhood, if when you really do the math, the math on that is pretty good, and
this we're great on that.
especially when oil hits, when gas prices hit $8, $10, $12, the savings will be pretty dramatic. So I'm not saying you should have all those cars because I don't. I have one electric, and I like gas cars. I like old cars. I love gas cars. So I'm not saying get rid of them, but I do think when you look at just kind of going around the neighborhood a little bit, the fact you just plug that in, you know, if you could save, you know, and the numbers I'll talk about in my book, but you can save a few thousand dollars a year on one car by going that route, because the prices have finally come down, right? These electric cars have finally come down to earth. So there's money there, and that technology is not going to go anywhere. And so silver is going to be a component into that, plus solar panels. You know, I think gas and electric are the two real, they've been out of control sort of expenses, you know, because $2 a gallon gas wasn't that far away. Now we're in the high fours or fives, depending on where you live,
right.
Six in some places. So, and those things are not, they're not going back, you know, oil's not going back to $2. And so you have to mitigate that cost, which is part of your financial plan going forward, is how do you control those out of control expenses? And so I think silver was going to play a big part in that going forward.
If a war were to break out and Iran's fully engaged, the Strait of Hormuz will close most oil shipments out of the Middle East.
Yep.
And our government will take the available oil and use it towards any war effort. You won't see. I've been telling my audience this. And I think what you're saying there is such great advice. Not only do you want to diversify with precious metals, you need to diversify in your transportation.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, like, as much as it makes me upset to go, I don't like the idea that they're telling us that we have to go away from our gas cars. But just fundamentally, if you can't afford to put gas in your car and there's another option, you have to be open-minded to that idea, right? And so I'm just saying, you know, if there's no oil available, or it's just it makes sense financially, you know, you have to keep your options open. At the end of the day, you have to do what's the bigger picture, and we are moving in those directions that we will see. We'll be talking about $8 and $10 a gallon gas. It will happen. It's not that far off. I think it's in the next few years we'll be talking about that. And so if you can save that, you know, that one expense, and then you put the solar panel on it, and all of those things need silver. So you just you look at that over the whole world on a macro level of everyone's having the same problem. They're all trying to keep their costs down, and silver's in all of those components. Just imagine how much usage you're going to have for silver. So,
yeah, people will say, I don't want to, you know, empower this new economy that's coming. It's communist. I mean, this is what people are saying. But I'm going to say this. You better get on the right side of finance if you want to keep eating and have a roof over your head. I mean,
exactly. I mean, listen,
it's practical.
The ESG movement is you know, a total scam. And,
yeah.
You know, there's no other way. It's just, you know, I remember the first time I heard an ad for ESG investing, and I just thought to myself, wow, I can't believe they were like, are you sick of investing in companies like tobacco? Or, you know, they started going on, and I thought to myself, like, that's just the tip of the iceberg of them being able to control. It's a whole new category that they created in investing, and a way to charge fees and to manipulate, to control corporations and manipulate.
Yeah.
It was just a stroke, you know, the WEF and the cloud, you know, all these Germans, and they get together in Switzerland, and they have these master plans, and they're trying to tell you they're doing for social good and environmental and all this hogwash. And you really, if you break it all down, it's like, these are the wealthiest, most corrupt people in the world telling you that they're trying to give back in a social way while they're skiing in Switzerland.
And like, buying gold and silver. They're buying gold and silver, Colin.
That's right. Is there something wrong with that? Yeah.
When in Rome, do as the Romans do. Okay, I get to close this out because I got this memorized, okay?
All right.
Yeah. Listen, I got to deal with Paul when I called in. I've dealt with Hope. I mean, you got such a great staff. I want to say this. When you call in to Noble Gold, you don't get I'll be helping about how much, you know, and you don't get anywhere. You get the real people. The worst thing that happens is they have to call you back in 5 minutes. And so you get great customer service. They never pressure you. The first time I closed a deal with Noble Gold about 7 years ago, I was like, oh, okay. Oh, Mr. Hodges, anything else? No, I want to do this now. I had to close my own deal. And I know this is the way Colin trains his staff. They don't want to push anybody into anything. In fact, actually, we have to give an FTC warning. You know, every investment carries an inherent risk, and past performance isn't a prologue for or a future prediction of what's coming up. There's something here, though, folks. I've been a customer of Noble Gold for almost 7 years. And what I'm telling you is you want to call 877 646-5347. If you have a nest egg of any size, you need to do this now, because if you follow me at all, I have laid out how insolvent we are. Be your own bank. 877-646-5347. How'd I do, Colin?
Couldn't have done it any better myself.
Well, look, it's always great to have you on. I appreciate your expertise. And from my family, we appreciate what you've done for us.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it.
Thank you very
it.
Much, Colin. Take care, my friend.
Bye-bye.
I've got a lot of mini presentations I want to make in shorter segments. I'm still going to do some of the full-length segments, but there's some things that I want to cover singularly because I don't want to confuse an important issue, but they're not so voluminous in understanding that I have to give 15 minutes of information. So I just want to let you know, if you're saying, well, Dave's shortening up some of his presentations. Yes, some of the segments, excuse me, will become shortened. But these are laser focused, critically important issues. And I'm going to take something I warned you was coming when Janet Yellen was running her illiterate, uneducated mouth. And I'm serious, this woman is a walking, talking box of rocks upstairs. And she just is. And we're going to take what she was talking about and translate it into one of the few policy statements that Kamala Harris has said. We don't know her economic policy. We have tidbits. But one of the tidbits is not a nugget. It's a gigantic boulder that's going to come down on the heads of millions and millions of Americans. And if you are paying a home mortgage, or people you love, like your kids or grandkids, for example, or if you know someone who's going to acquire a home mortgage, you need to play this presentation for them. In fact, I'm going to be speaking with on the air that will come out next Wednesday with a state rep, and I'm not going to identify who because I don't want her to get harassed, but a state rep who's going to talk about something related to this, only it's worse. And you're going to say, after you hear this, what could be worse than what you're telling us here? It's coming. And I'm going to have her lawyer, well, not hers, but a lawyer she works with, on as well, too. This is a very big deal, people. This is a big red alert, all hands on deck. Please pay attention. I'm Dave Hodges. You're watching The Common Sense Show. This is the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And this is one of our most important broadcasts. So we ask you to share far and wide, because we have people that are willfully choosing to be ignorant. They think they can sit this out and they can't. You can't sit this out any longer, people. These people in charge of this administration, and I've never said this before, I couldn't stand the Clintons. Okay. I couldn't stand the Bushes. I can't, I'll just be honest with you, I don't have time for many of these politicians at all, but I have never felt the way I feel about this administration. They should strike fear and terror into your heart, because there is nothing they won't do. They've already tried to kill Trump. They want to kill babies post-birth abortion. Okay. In fact, some of these radicals are so crazy, they think they can kill kids up to age of four because they're not real people yet. That's their argument, not mine. This is what they've said, not what I've assumed. We are dealing with people who are psychotic. They have antisocial personality disorder, which is a combination of psychopath and sociopath. It's a new mental health term. It's about 20 years old now. And psychopath, sociopath really aren't used, but it's a combination of the two. This is what they are. They're also narcissistic. They lack empathy. This is what you're dealing with these people. And you say, well, Dave, how can you say that? Well, first of all, I worked in mental health. All right. So number one, I'm qualified. Number two, okay, I taught the principles for decades. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying this is what I recognize. Other people that come to you and give you program information, they have strengths in certain areas. I'm just telling you where my background lies. That's all. I'm not bragging. Honestly, sometimes I think that ignorance might be bliss, but I can't stop. Lives are at stake, literally and figuratively. What I'm going to tell you is shocking. And it's so shocking that some of you won't believe it. And I'm going to ask you to memorialize this recording and come back and play it again. I can't stress to you how important this is. All right, we got a sponsor and great sponsor. I love Dr. Gundry's people. All they care about is getting you healthy by what you put into your body. And I just found out something really interesting. How'd you like to restore your gut health with one simple little fix? Well, Dr. Gundry is a world-renowned heart surgeon. Guy's fantastic. By the way, he took off 70 pounds following his own advice, and he's kept it off for over 20 years. This guy's the real deal, man. He practices what he preaches, and that's why I like him. He has a root cause, he reveals, that caused weight gain, food cravings, low energy. In a short video, he's released to the public. It's released in the public domain, but you probably have never heard about it. But I'm going to tell you how to get there and how to watch it. All you got to do is go to the newgutfix.com slash Dave. The newgutfix.com slash Dave. And if you're seeing this on our social media, I'll put a link in the description box for you. Okay, again, this video so fascinating because it reveals how you can transform your gut with one simple fix. Free video, thenewgutfix.com slash Dave. Please do this. Need the best version of yourself out there, folks. All right, we have something I've talked to you about before. Janet Yellen went before the Senate. Secretary of Treasury, former Fed chair, and she was so bad they drummed her out and promoted her to the Secretary of Treasury. But she said, we're going to do unrealized income. Okay, well, Kamala Harris is not calling that because people like me just went nuts. Here's what this means. You buy your house for $300, $300,000. You sell it 30 years later for $800,000. It's reasonable. We have lots of homes that would do that. Do you agree? You could even go 100 to 600. Okay, it doesn't matter. 1,000. Okay, so you have that price, 300,000 to 800,000. Now, what Janet Yellen wanted to do is charge you 45% of the unrealized income. You have $500,000 there, and she wanted you to pay 45% of that. Ooh, ouch, ouch, ouch. That gets to be what, about $265,000? Ouch. Okay, now Kamala Harris came along and she said this at the convention. We're going to tax people on the appreciated value of their homes before they can sell it. What? You see, I don't choose for my home to increase in value. I don't want it to, because then I have to pay more property tax. Do we agree on that? And all the people said, Amen. It's true. None of us want our properties to go up because then the tax man comes with their handout. And then if you have a housing crash of any type, oh, they're about 4 or 5 years behind in lowering your property taxes. Good luck with that. Raise it the next day, take years to lower it. They don't reflect market conditions. And every county is the same way. Every government's the same way. They want to rob from whoever and give it to themselves. And this is what they do. So, all right, let's get down to what this means under Kamala's practice. She's not saying unrealized income, but this is exactly what it is. And so you go 300,000 to 800,000, 500,000. She wants to charge 25% upfront cost payable all at once before you can sell your home. Well, that's a $500,000 difference. And yeah, do you get the idea? Do you have 100 grand in your pocket that you can fork out to the government before you earn the right to sell your home? Do you understand right now that no one should buy a home? No one should buy a new home in this country until after the election. Donald Trump won't do this. This is insanity. But we got to keep Donald Trump upright and out of prison. He would never do this. But Kamala Harris, she's raised by a Marxist professor. The fruit does not fall very far from the tree. This is who she is. I mean, wage and price controls. Hello, Stalin. I love you, Joseph. Yeah. That's Kamala Harris. This is real, folks. I listen, I know most of you that are here, you're here because you understand and you want to increase your knowledge base and you're looking for some solutions. Okay? I'll get to the solutions in a minute. But a lot of you are just saying, that can't happen. Donald Trump will never get shot. I got told that. They wouldn't dare do that to him. I've been told this. I said, did you ever hear of a guy named Bobby Kennedy? It was Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s father, leading candidate in the Democratic nomination for president, murdered in Los Angeles after he won the California primary against all odds. Don't tell me it can't happen. Don't tell me this can't happen. Kamala Harris said it with her own words. Are you not taking her seriously? We're gonna make you pay. Yeah, the appreciated value of your home at a rate of 25%. Can I ask you a question? What if you have to move for your job? What if you're a military and you get transferred? What are you gonna do? You're gonna sell out. It's gonna be a buyer's market, and groups like BlackRock will be right there to swoop it up. And then you'll move to your new destination. You don't want to go through this again, so you won't buy, you'll rent. And this is what they want. They want a nation full of renters. They want to take your personal property away. Now, next week, I'm having this state legislator on. I'm going to get an attorney on too, and they're going to explain to you something called UCC. And don't tell me, oh, I've heard of it. I know that you don't know what it is. You may have heard the term. Universal Commercial Code, but you don't know what it is and you don't know how it's going to affect you. And it's like this, only worse. And haven't I told you too about climate mitigation on your home? I'm working on a story on that. What's going on in California? They are devising every way they can to steal your home. Now, I own my home outright. We made sacrifices. We paid ahead on our mortgage, not bragging, but we did. We made those sacrifices and we're lucky. We're not going to be subject to this because we're not selling our home. But let's say I put my son on the deed to avoid their nonsense capital gains tax. Okay. And I can do it because I say I want to give him the gift. I don't give a crap if I say he avoids tax. It's a benefit. I don't care if they hear it, they can't use it against us. Now, here's the deal. What if he needs to sell it someday? You see what I'm saying? You may have your home paid off, but if your heirs can overcome these huge capital gains taxes that they're imposing on America in 2025, what's going to allow your heirs to sell the property? What if they don't can't move in? What if their jobs take them somewhere else? What if they have to live across the city? It's not practical to live there. This is a problem. And you need to play this for everybody who is thinking about buying a home, and no one should right now until after November 5th. Nobody should be buying a home. And you need to play this for people who are homeowners because people like me are affected. Why? Because my heirs, my wife and I, our heirs will have our home, hopefully. And then before they could sell it. And what if the housing market has crashed? What will they use as the valuation dates? Oh, you're going to tell me they're going to be fair with you? Do you think the word fair and the Biden-Harris administration belong in the same sentence? You just answered your question. So this is what it comes down to, ladies and gentlemen. You have a burden. It's called Kamala Harris and the puppeteers she represents. They want to eliminate all home ownership. I'm just giving you one sliver of how they're going to do it. This is a big one. I've got to find some research on this. How many people actually own their homes versus all homeowners and it's paid off in full? I'm going to say baby boom's pretty big. Their homes are paid off for the most part. I'm going to say 20, 25%. The rest are in mortgages. How many people have their homes paid off, but they own a rental home and they're paying their mortgage with the rent with a little bit of profit? And they're saying, well, it's appreciating in value. Isn't that good? Not any longer. Not any longer. This is the communist utopia they want to bring you. Okay, I presented the facts. I'm 100% correct. And you're going to want to tune in to my show, the podcast, or the radio broadcast. And we're going to start having links in the description box next week. You're going to want to tune in and hear this state representative talk about this. And you're going to say, whoa, this is not good. It's outright theft, people. It's the elimination of private property and home ownership. And what I'm going to give you next week is the elimination of private property. We'll see you back here next time. God bless all of you.